Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Good evening. And can I just start by saying a big congratulations and well done on the OG 10th anniversary pod. It was very, very good. I had a nice giggle at quite a few parts.
No, thank you. Yeah, 10th anniversary. Check it out. It's on YouTube and all the podcast platforms. It was good fun. Brought back the intro.
I was listening to that and I thought, I think you need to bring that back permanent. That's a great intro. Why did you get rid of it?
The first time I tried to use it, I got blocked for copyright. But when I tried to use it, and I haven't used it since, so when I tried, and also, as you may recall, the least work possible is always the aim.
Of course.
So that was the whole point about just YouTube. It's just record, put up, no editing, nothing. But yeah, I've had a few people say they liked the bookends of the intro and the song of the week. People asked for the song of the week. But then you had to put up with my, like, I got complaints about my singing. So like, what do you expect?
I was complaining about your singing. It's all in jest.
Sweeper. Like,
Well, you know, it's all in jest. It's funny. It's more about the lyrics. I'm listening to the lyrics, not your melody, not your tone. No offense.
Good. No. None taken. Yeah. But yeah, 4:40 on a Sunday afternoon does suck. So that was the song. So,
beautiful thing. Yeah, it's perfect.
So yeah, so that was, so check that out. That's the 10th anniversary podcast. You can listen to that anytime. Because we don't talk about any game or anything like that. We do a list review for old time's sake. But check that out. Now, Fiona's forecast, onto important matters. Mm-hmm. We've got the changes, Sitting Joe, Smoking Joe. I do have a adjunct, an addendum, whatever you want to call it, to Tales from the Sauna. Big plot twist. But the new segment went off. So Fiona's couch, we've got so many to get through. We'll probably just get to two or three, but we've got weeks and weeks of people asking you questions. So lot to get through. So firstly, the changes. There's good news and there's bad news. Yeah. Good news, Hind admitted.
Oh, you guys were harsh. You guys were very harsh on him in your review.
But the best news is Parrish is back, which is tremendous and just further adds to our, suddenly we have this depth in the midfield that we didn't have even at the start of this year. And Kelly's back, Fiona, which would have put a smile on your dial.
It really did. The king is back. I'm so happy for that. I'm so, so happy for him to hear that he's back and feeling better in himself with his concussion issues. So absolutely thrilled. Couldn't be happier.
Yeah. And we should be thankful for modern, I guess, protocols and modern sports science and medicine that we don't just rush these guys back and that's fine. And then by the time they're 50, they're sucking their dinner through a straw. Much better that he gets better and we take the time.
And, you know, and that just speaks to the person he is. He, I was told, wasn't feeling good in himself. Like, he has been right for a couple of weeks medically, but he wasn't feeling good, confident in himself, you know, to get hit. So he took himself out of selection and apparently said, let's just do a VFL game. And so that just adds to my love of him, to be honest. So.
Well, for him to do that, because he's hard as nails,
Certainly
says something. Now, The worry is, so I said Hind admitted, D'Ambrosio drops to the sub. I think he's officially now the super sub, I think we'll call him. But Draper hasn't recovered. Now, it's a little bit like the Shield injury where, like I read today, they're both sore. Now, what does sore mean? You don't remain sore unless there's something wrong. Sore is a symptom of the problem. What's the fucking problem? Yeah. Now, we know he's got a hip, supposedly, But do we need to start worrying, Fiona?
Well, I would say yes from experience, because I tore my labrum in my hip. We've got four labrums in our body, one in each shoulder and one in each hip. I have three.
I was about to say I didn't know what the fuck the labrum is. But yeah.
So it's like the casing over the actual joint, the protection over the joint. I've torn both shoulders and my hip joint, my hip labrum. And that has caused me such incredible hamstring pain and sometimes glute pain and sometimes hip pain. So if he has torn something like that, when you say sore, I could get it surgically repaired, but because I'm not an athlete and I'm not running, 20K a week, I just rehab it.
You're not an athlete, surprise me.
Yeah, surprising, I just rehab it and maintain it. So if he's done a labral tear, which is quite, and the reason the tearing of the labrums in the hips are common with high with athletes, because it's overuse of the joint.
Yeah, that's why I don't think I've used mine once in my life.
Yeah, so you'll be fine. You'll never have to worry about that. But it's quite common in athletes. In fact, Orazio Fantasia tore his. That kept him out. One of his many injuries that he had attended.
Yeah.
If Draper's torn his labrum, he'll be sore forever. He'll either maintain it or they'll surgically repair it. But in the meantime, he can rehab it, and he can sometimes feel 50% pain. Sometimes he'll feel 70% pain. Some days he may feel 20% pain. So it's sounding to me like it's one of those things. So they got him through every game, just with rehabbing him every week, maintenance, doing all the things, the cupping, the dry needling, all of the things, but now it's probably causing him some maybe referral pain.
So presumably then it's a question of maintaining or repairing via surgery, which probably rules him out for the year, I'd imagine.
Yeah, at this point. Okay. So, I mean, but I have no inside information. Let me just confirm. I have no inside information about that. But when they say hip, the labrum is very common for athletes because it's a wear and tear type injury. So it could be that. And I just know that you can kind of rise above that kind of thing, but you are in pain. So I'm hoping it's not that.
And he strikes me as a guy that would play through pain. Like, he's kind of an old-fashioned type footballer, I think, in that regard.
Yeah. The last couple of games, you could see it on his face, though. He looked strained. His presence, his jovial nature was not there. He was strained. But he still showed up and he still played a very good game against Carlton. So props to him. But my question to you is there a player we could have afforded to miss more than him?
That's what I was going to say.
More than him against Freo and Sean Darcy and Luke Jackson. Fucking hell.
Well, that's the thing. So there's the worry about him, and then there's the immediate worry about how the hell are we gonna go into this game. Now, Brian has been named on the bench. Sorry, in the emergencies, has he not? He's been named in the emergencies. I think we have to play him. We have to play him. We can't go into the game with Phillips as our only ruckman. That's like going into the game with no ruckman. Like Phillips, like look at his last month.
Poor Flute. Maybe he'll rise above given the responsibility. Maybe.
Yeah, look, I like him.
Adding in Brian, does it bring you any more confidence? I don't know that it does me.
Yeah, at least gives, I don't know, it's just another body that we can throw at those Frio rucks that at least provides a contest. Because what's the alternative? I guess we've got two meter Peter.
And Weed. But
he's too valuable. Weed, he's got to concentrate on kicking straight and avoid trying to get Henneman's. So... Listeners can't see the look I'm getting from Fiona. Yeah, it's a worry. It's a big worry. And my confidence that I had prior to this game has been dented.
Yeah.
I really don't know what I'm going to predict at the end of this
Neither
podcast,
do I.
actually.
Prior to today, it was a win every day. Like, I was really confident. But this has thrown a spanner. But then I saw King Kelly's back, and then I was like, okay. Yeah.
He can't ruck, though.
No, but you know what? There's the age-old thought that ruckmen are overrated.
So I don't know, man. Do you remember that game when Matthew Knights put Nathan Lovett Murray in the ruck against Adelaide in a final?
Oh, no, I can't say I recall that.
All I can say is didn't end well. Didn't end well. So people say ruckmen are underrated, and then when they're not played, St Kilda would have won a flag if Grant Thomas hadn't been pig-headed about not requiring a proper ruckman. So I'm worried.
I think your favourite late change will occur, but it begs to differ. Why don't we just name him? Why are we doing late change bullshit again? 2 weeks in a row we've done a late change and brought Phillips in. Why not just name Brian?
I'm happy with the late changes.
Yeah, okay.
I like it. It adds to it again. It further distances us from the previous two coaches. It's yet another.
But now, 3 times in a row, it's done now. Not if you go. No, okay, just me.
Maybe that's a double bluff. Then one day we won't make changes.
Oh, boy who cried wolf. Okay, boy who cried ruckman. Gotcha. Okay.
Yes, exactly. All right. Smoking Joe and Sitting Joe. Which one are you doing? I can't remember.
I have the Smokin'.
Who are you picking?
I was going to go King Kelly, but that's way too obvious, and I like to stay away from stereotypes. So I am going to go, Parrish. I think we all know he's been chomping at the bit. He's been kind of ready to go, I reckon, for a couple of weeks. He's been feeling good. So I reckon he's going to be loving himself stupid, and he's just going to absolutely tear up that midfield. And with Merritt in such good form, I think those two will just absolutely sink beautifully.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Do you think he'll start in the middle from the first bounce or come off the bench?
That's a great question. I think he'll start. Yep.
Here's a slight tangent.
Mm-hmm.
So impressed with Hobbs with each game.
Like a fish to water.
Oh, he's another. He's a different sort of player again to what we've got. Like there's something. I don't know. I want to say there's something special about him.
Mm. Absolutely, I completely agree.
Does Parrish coming in just stunt his growth a little bit?
No, because it's not wise to play him every week in the middle. It's not sustainable for him to tear it up every week in the middle at his young development age. And I think it can only help his growth so long as he's still getting minutes. In and around, and I think he will. They'll rotate the four of them through, I think. So
yeah,
I think it can only do him good. I do believe this. I'm very strong on this, that Dylan Scheel should be spending, when he comes back, I think he should spend 70% of the time up forward. I don't think he should be rotated through the midfield at the expense of Hobbs, Caldwell and Perkins. I'm very strong on that. But that's a story for when Scheel comes back in.
Yeah. I don't know. I reckon Scheel's first half of the season was pretty good. Like, I'd give him a B+, A-. Yeah. It's great, great problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I need to give a Sitting Joe, don't I?
You definitely do.
Phillips is the obvious one. No, don't worry. I'm not going to give it to him.
Okay.
It's guys that need to go down from a level that they're playing at. So I don't know, LeVert can get much worse, so I won't give it to him. It's a guy who's probably due for a bad game. And I know it's Optus Stadium, isn't it? That's what it's called over there. Yep. I know it's not quite Subiaco size, but it's still quite a wide ground. It's wider dimensions than the MCG. I just think Hep might get exposed a little bit in this game.
Oh, okay.
So I think Hep might just pull back from his tremendous performance in recent weeks, even past month and a bit, and might just struggle.
Okay. I mean, for his sake, I hope, as we say, usually, like we hope this is an anti-jinx, you know. But poor guy, when he's playing well, he can't stay away from the Windy Hill Windsock curse awards.
Hey, we didn't send him to the Knackery in the last pod.
Hallelujah.
He's done well, and we've given him lots of praise.
You did, yes.
Mainly because maybe his main critic on the podcast wasn't on this week.
That's right.
But no, full credit to Hep. I'm just picking him out of what I hope is a bunch of players playing really well.
Yep. I think Zerk will have a much happier time. It's the first week he doesn't have a monster to play on, the poor kid. I think he's going to have a much happier game.
Yeah, he deserves to have a bit of a break.
He does.
But yeah, he's got to turn his form around, actually. He's critical, really.
It's not necessarily his form. It's his matchups. If the back line are not in super sync and the half backs are not in super sync to cover space, he gives away so much height and weight to those big monster forwards that he can't compete. That's why we're the missing piece of this puzzle. That's why I'm so hell-bent on them Essendon chasing Harry Mackay. I mean, not Harry Mackay, Ben Mackay from Kangaroos, because he would take those monsters, you know? But anyway, again, I digress. I just think
we need a beast down there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm just so happy to see Peter Wright again.
How good was he?
Oh,
first game, eight possessions, five goals.
Just so happy. I just wish him the best in life, and I just love when he's happy. And I'm just happy to see him again, and I'm happy he's back, and I hope he has another goal.
As another aside, how disappointing was it that Carlton won last week? Because the Carlton...
You had one freaking job, Gold Coast. One freaking job. And they let them fucking... No, it's good, you know, because the media are saying they're back. I hope they get flogged. Oh, no.
Who they got this week, by the way?
They're gonna buy. They can't get flogged. Okay.
That's a shame.
It is a shame.
I guess next is selection.
Yeah.
So what are you...
Oh.
Right at this very second, I still don't know what I'm going for.
Same.
Or who I'm going for.
Same. Look, you know what? I'm trusting in the B bus. I'm driving the B bus, the Brad Scott bus.
You are. And
so I'm going to trust in where he's taking me, and I'm going to go with what I've been feeling all week up until yesterday, until Brad Scott's press conference where he pretty much said Draper wasn't playing. And I'm just going to say we're going to win, and it'll probably be close, maybe 11 points.
11 points. I'm going to predict a loss.
Okay.
And I must admit, I've been pretty good with my tips of late. As have you. For Essendon.
Okay.
I mean, you are Fiona Damas, it's been established. I did pick us to beat Carlton.
You did, yep.
Against the Tide. Yeah, I just feel we're probably due for a bit of bad luck.
Yep.
We don't have a ruck. Yeah, I hope I'm wrong, of course.
Do you know what? I think Phillips listens to this pod and he hears how negative and how mean you are against him and how he's going into some horsey barn to die and make more babies and live out his days. I think that translates into his performances. I truly do.
Just a point of order there. I would never suggest Phillips goes to stud and produce father sons.
He's already got two of them. But what happens when you send them off to
stud?
No, what happens when you want to do to Philip? What do you want to do to Phillips? You want to send him off to where?
Well, you said you want him to go off and have babies. I said,
no, isn't that what happens when you want him out the door?
No, that's what you do when they're good and you want them to produce, and you want them to be father sons.
Oh no, no, no!
We don't want more Phillips.
I meant to go and live his days on a nice hill up in a farm, and you know.
I think I might have said he's a Clydesdale, but really it's Neckery.
Oh, then that's what it's called. Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry, that was a roundabout way. I don't do horses. But he knows that you want to send him there because he listened, and it's translating into his performances. I think you just need to have a little faith.
All right. Well, I will get down on my prayer mat. I will put it towards Windy Hill, and I will pray.
Yeah.
That he does well.
I think he just needs a little belief.
Do you know why you need faith in this world? Because there's no evidence to support something.
That is what faith is, believing in something that's not there. That's what that you that's can't right. tangibly see or feel. That's
okay, so I'll have faith that Phillips is good.
we are reaching to every corner.
Yeah, you walked into that. What do we want to do? Do we want to do Fiona's couch last? Shall I go to Tales from the Sauna?
Yeah. What have you got?
All right. So Tales from the Sauna kind of went nowhere, but there is one thread of a story that I've been following, which is little old man who has got to be 70, late 60s, early 70s. He's there with his wife in the spa. He doesn't go in. He goes to the spa. This is at Reservoir Leisure Centre, goes in the spa, and his wife leaves, know where she goes, and straight away this little Asian lady comes up and starts talking to him. Now, here's the plot twist. Now, we thought that maybe she was trying to white out the wife, cut her lunch, whatever. And I've made some incorrect assumptions.
Oh.
This little stud muffin is single.
The Vietnamese lady?
No, little man, the man.
What? I thought he said that's his wife.
No, that's why I'm wrong.
Oh.
No, he's not. I think he's a widow.
Oh, so he's on widower. The market.
He's a widower, I should
he's
say.
He's
on the fruit market. And he's got a couple that are maybe chasing him.
Look at the ladies chasing him. Look at the confidence.
Yeah, so I found this out because he was in the sauna itself and someone was talking to him and said, oh, you know this guy? I said, he's married, isn't he? His wife leaves early. I was trying to fish. I was doing what you asked me to do.
Yes, yes.
And there I said, no, he's not married, no. So, yeah, I just think he's a popular guy.
Is he a good look? Is he that type of guy that you could tell he was good looking? Like, is he quite handsome?
Yeah.
You could tell in his youth he was a bit of a stud?
Got a bit of swag.
Okay.
And maybe he's got a tobacco farm in Mildura, potentially. Like, maybe he's got some coin. I don't know.
He's got the cash strapped under the mattress. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. He might have the big Thomas Down mansion with pillars and lions.
Lions, yep.
And whatnot, and marble.
Ceramic lines, yeah. Oh, so he's being courted. He's just sitting there and the ladies are coming to him.
Yes. Yeah. That's what seems to be happening. But I'm continuing to watch, and when I next have an update, I will certainly update you.
Can I set you a next challenge now that you've overcome that one?
Go for it.
Your next challenge is to buddy up with him. So your next time you go into the sauna, and you see a free spot next to him, just start up a combo with him.
I don't think he's got many free spots. Like, I think it's...
Oh, yeah, you know, true.
I have to take a number and stand in line. That's the problem.
And then you might think you're keen. Then you might think you're trying
potentially,
to
potentially. Yeah, but for you, I'm willing to risk it.
Good, thank you. Yeah, your next, maybe once the woman you thought was his wife, before the Vietnamese lady's got a chance to scoot in, that's your window of opportunity, just to fill the spot and just start chatting to him and just get the lay of the land a little bit.
Okay, I'll just write this down. Write it down. Okay, done.
Beautiful. Love it.
Now, final segment. We had a sort of mini segment, didn't we, last time?
We just tested the waters, didn't we?
Fiona's forecast. The response was overwhelming.
Yep.
So I had some DMs and I had some questions come through. Then you had some questions. You what's it called?
Not going to lie, NGL. Yep.
NGL.
Yep.
Which is some app that you can put out there and people can pose you questions.
Anonymously.
Anonymously.
Yep.
Which I think was good because it kind of drew out some – and this is what we want to do here. We want to help people.
Yep.
So really life questions that were sort of posed, which we're going to get to. And I've got so many, but I reckon we can probably only get to, as I said, a few.
Yeah. You've
all right.
I've sent you some of the ones that come through and I've allowed you to narrow them down.
All right. Question number one.
Well, God, I'm a bit worried here.
Now, I don't know whether this came from a young man or a young woman or somebody identifying as something else, but the question is, I'm not super, super confident at sex. How do I get better? Now, can I make an assumption?
Yeah.
I'm going to assume it's a young guy.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assumption?
Probably. Women don't. You wouldn't normally find a woman who's not confident at sex. She'd be more lacking confidence in her body and, you know, that kind of thing rather than her performance. Yep. And some men are under the illusion that women can't be bad at sex. So we think this is a man.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, let's assume it's a man then.
Yeah.
So what's your advice? I'm not super confident at sex. How do I get better?
Look, without getting, pushing this podcast to an R-rated, to having some R-rated.
we've done 10 years of this shit. Like we're past that.
I'm worried that we're going to get blacklisted by Spotify. But anyway, look, I will say this. The fact that you are conscious of the fact that you might not be very good is the sign that you're probably better than what you think you are. From my experience, it's the supremely confident guys who tell you that have had no complaints, that they've been told that they're the best at pleasuring a woman. From my experience, they're the ones who should be asking this question and they're the ones who never will. So it's a good thing that you're asking it, you're self-aware, and it's another good thing that you want to get better. So kudos to you. No shame. There is no shame in thinking that you're not great at something, and it's a good thing that you want to get better at it. Very simply, I would say that women don't often get as much out of sex as men do, as easily as easily as men do. So long as you're hyper-focused on her and the woman or the man, I guess. Oh. Okay, sorry, I'm assuming that this is heterosexual.
We can make that assumption. I think that's okay. Yeah.
My advice would change if it was for a man on man. So maybe I'll just hit the heterosexual couple for now. Hyper focus on her, communicate and ask her what feels good. And I don't think you can go wrong if you're focused on her and asking her what feels good. I have another suggestion to this, is that a friend of mine sent me ages ago a YouTube clip of a man, I think he might have been American, anyway, of a YouTube clip, and he had, I think he must have been a, you know, a doctor or some sort, or maybe he wasn't just some, maybe he's just some weirdo, but he had like, he had the anatomy in his hands, the physical model of a woman's parts, and he basically explained how best to pleasure a woman with you know, he was showing basically with his hands on the dummy how to pleasure a woman, and he sent me this and asked me, he's a straight man, and asked me, he was in a relationship, if it was accurate. And I said to him, my response to him was, it's probably one of the most accurate detailed descriptions that I've ever seen and heard, and I think they should show this in schools to boys.
What, so what's the video? So how's this guy going to find this video?
I don't have it off the top of my head. I just remember that this is, that's what happened. I will find it, and we will make notes at the bottom of the pod. So worst case scenario to the guy or person who sent that inquiry in, if you follow the instructions that this guy on YouTube gave, I dare say that you will have no complaints from your lady friend or man friend, but that will change. No, it can't be a man friend. This is woman.
Look, I think that's a tremendous advice. Can I just nuance it a little bit?
Yes.
I reckon do your research first. My opinion, don't ask a girl, does this feel good? Does that feel good? Surely a girl doesn't want to sit there with a guy saying, oh, is this okay? Is that okay?
No, not
like control, that. Man. Act like you take control.
Well, no, I'm not saying ask her every 5 minutes. I'm saying if you can't follow her her reactions, if you're not getting much from her reactions and her cues, if you can't sense her cues, I would, and not in like a soppy way, but is that good? Or, you know, every now and then, is that good? Is not going to hurt. But no, you're right. Don't continue asking her, is that good? Is that good? Does that feel good? Don't pressure her into lying to you.
And then my other bit of advice, just get your head down, man, and put in the work.
It was all about how, and I think in the actual thing, he said, the guy said, if she's not like curling her toes by the end of it, then yeah. So he basically guarantees that, and as I said to my friend, I said, I think this is as accurate as a description. And you know what? I would send it to males.
Okay.
Pretty good. Yeah. So I'll find it and we'll find a way to get it to you somehow, even though you sent it anonymously, but look out for it.
All right. It's getting hot in here.
It is. Oh, look at your face.
This part of Fiona's forecast could go beyond the footy season. We could just morph this into a...
This could be an hour of just answering the questions.
Of just couch.
Yeah.
All right. The next one. Oh, yep. Now, I don't know if this is... come from the guy at the sauna or not.
Oh God.
I'm cheating on my wife. Why don't I feel guilty? Wow, that's some interesting, and look, full credit for asking the question. What's your answer to that? Is he asking for advice though? Or is he, I guess he's asking you to question or make sense of his feelings.
Okay, I'm going to go with that, because my first instinct was, are you asking me to tell you that it's okay, that what you're doing is okay? Because if that's, or to make you feel better about what you're doing, because I think you've come to the wrong place, my friend.
Well, let's take it on face value and say he's legitimately asking the question.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let me tackle this from this angle. There is definitely a psychological part of this. From a practical point of view, my first instinct is to tell you that, and this is to anybody who cheats or who's cheating,
mm-hmm.
that there is not, there is nothing preventing you. I'm not saying don't fall in love with somebody else. There is nothing wrong with saying you're falling out of love with someone, you're not getting along, the marriage, you know, you rushed into it and you're falling for someone else. But have the self-respect for yourself and for another human being to end the relationship, the marriage that you're in before you jump into bed with somebody else or cheat on a partner. It's just a little bit of common human decency to the other person who you married or were together with. So end, I'm not saying you fall in love with somebody else, no problem, but don't do that to another human being. I always, when it's come to cheating, I've always thought to myself, always think of yourself as the other person, the person being cheated on. How would you feel if that was you? Always put yourself in that opposite position. So I think the reason you don't feel guilty, sir, is because that's your...
Well, that one's also, we don't know what the, which...
Well, it could be a woman. Okay.
It could be human. A female. But yep,
The reason you don't feel guilty is because that's your way of living with yourself. You have created a story where you're in order to actually get by and get through your days, you have to not feel guilty, because if you felt the full extent of your guilt, you wouldn't be able to go through with it. You wouldn't be able to look yourself in the mirror. So I know
or,
it's a, yep.
Is it possible that he doesn't or she doesn't feel guilty because he's fallen out of love with his or her partner, and therefore, and this is a way of realizing it, and they didn't know that was the case before. Either way, your advice, I think, holds true. You need to address your current situation before you move to
consciously,
the next.
Consciously, yes, but subconsciously, we're humanly wired to, like, he or she knows they're doing something wrong. So they know that the situation is not right. So consciously they're saying, oh, but I'm not in love with them, so it doesn't matter. That's your conscious brain. But subconsciously, so everything that's underneath it that you're avoiding, your subconscious is saying, no, I know this is wrong, hence why you asked the question. So there's two parts here.
But is that person saying, I know it's wrong and I don't know why I don't feel bad? Anyway, this is deep, man.
This is very deep. But I'm telling you that you do feel guilty. I'm telling you, you're in self-preservation mode, and it's an illusion. It's an illusion that you don't feel guilty, because we're humanly wired. We are wired that way. It's impossible to think that you don't feel guilty. I'm saying you do. If you tap into that guilt, you won't be able to look yourself in the mirror. That's what I'm saying. So end the relationship. Have some self-respect for the person you married, for yourself. End the relationship and then move on to whoever you have to move on to.
There you go.
They went hard on this first round. Woof.
Yeah, well, you haven't got to the third one.
Oh, God.
You ready for this one? Have we got time for one more? I probably do.
All righty.
This is a really simple one. Should I get a rabbit or a guinea pig? I did see this one.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. I was about to have to go pour myself a drink.
I did see this one on Twitter. I responded, at least with a rabbit, you could always put it into a curry or a stew afterwards. But you seem to think you can't
it's
eat pets.
You can't eat pets.
Anybody who's been on a farm might disagree.
Yeah, but that's probably because they have 15 rabbits or 25 cows. So one is not going to – I guess you won't miss one, but no. I'm gonna answer this one easily. Get a guinea pig to whoever asked that. Guinea pig.
Why?
I just think that'd be a little less work, that's all, from absolutely no knowledge of what guinea pigs entail.
Well, I can give you some experience of a rabbit that would make me choose guinea pig. I bought my daughter a rabbit, and it was the most aggressive, feral little prick I've ever seen. It used to attack me, used to attack her, and it ran away one day. And I swear on my mother's grave, I didn't let it out. It did run away, and I was delighted when it ran away. It was a little prick.
Did it come back?
A little. No, I probably got eaten by a cat or a fox or something. But it was a little shit. So,
yeah, I had
it. Then again, when I was a kid, I think my dad did bring home two guinea pigs, and they were two, like, females.
Yeah.
And then one day we opened the hutch, and they were, like, babies, so they obviously weren't two females. And then I think one of them got out of the hutch, or some of them got out, and like they had sex with each other, and they became a bit like, you know, it was a bit like the movie Deliverance, but with guinea pigs, and one was really aggressive, and we didn't have a great time with them either.
Is it the guinea pigs that they're not worried? They mate with brother and sister, like they're not too worried about incest.
I know rats
mate with siblings, don't they?
Look, I'm not as familiar with the mating habits of the average South American rodent as you might think. But I don't know they've got sort of guilt. I think they're like question number two. They don't have much guilt for anything. They're basically just little eating, shitting and fucking machines from what I can see.
Yeah.
Whereas rabbits, I mean, did you ever see Watership Down as a kid?
No.
There's some evil rabbits, man.
Yeah, I just remember mine. She just humped absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. My arm, my leg, the chair leg, the table.
Hang on, and this was a female rabbit?
Female, Ruby, yep. Ruby, red eyes.
Ruby the Mad Rooter.
Yep, she just was a horny little sass, yep.
Wow.
Sassy and horny.
Okay.
With a very, 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 with a lot of bowel movements, yep.
Well, if she was willing to do that to just inanimate objects or your arm, she would have done that to siblings as well, no doubt.
Probably, yeah. If we had, thank God we did not put another rabbit in there with her because, yeah, there would have been 25 million of them in a day.
What happened to Ruby in the end?
Ruby passed, sadly, yeah, and she's buried in the backyard.
How'd she die?
I don't know. One day we just went to her and we think an animal, a cat, got to her.
Okay.
Yeah, because we had her kind of cornered off in a kind of section because she jumped. We'd put barriers up and they jump really high and she'd jump over.
Oh.
Yeah, so we had a high barrier up in kind of one section of the yard and we think, either a cat or a fox or something got to her.
God,
we didn't inspect her for teeth marks or anything, but, yeah, very sad.
Just hump herself to death.
She may have humped herself and had a heart attack or something. Like, it's quite possible. She was, yeah. Don't know if they're all like that. I don't know. Maybe someone can shed some light, but she was, yeah. And I was young when I got her, so it was a bit of an eye-opener as to what she was exactly doing.
Mom.
Yeah, there was a conversation.
Why is Ruby doing that to my arm?
It was a conversation, I can recall, yeah.
Okay, go Ruby. Well, there you go. So we landed on guinea pig.
Yeah, we landed on guinea pig. I do apologise, listeners. This has been more advice than football, hasn't it?
Oh, well, look for the five listeners that are left. Look, they're here for the long haul. Yeah, great to have Essendon back.
Yeah, how did you go? What did you do through at the bye, actually? Oh, you did the OG pod, sorry. Was that enough of a fix?
Did do the OG pod. I missed the forecast last week, actually, funnily enough. I mean, the Ashes was on, which was good.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's why I've been off Twitter. Is it done now? You should see my mute list. Ashes. I love cricket to Ashes 23, cricket to 23, like all the words, and are still seeing my timeline full of fucking cricket.
Well, is the good news.
There? Is it done?
The good news for you is the test match is over.
I don't know what that means.
So, a test match is a 5-day game. So, there's only 20 days of test match cricket remaining. There's another 4 tests.
Are you fucking kidding?
It'll finish mid-July.
Oh, my good God. So, what, it just keeps going? Every day?
Yeah. No, not every day. There's breaks. There's breaks in between. So, the next match, I think, is next week.
So, this is football season. There should be no other sport spoken of in Australia. NFL can have their, but they stay in their little box. They adhere to the boundaries. They stay in their box and they don't overload. Cricket tries to overcompensate and tries to overtake AFL, and I'm not here for it.
Well, the AFL do try and take over the entire year, to be fair. Well, the Ashes finishes, I'll tell you when it finishes.
It really was not pleasurable. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it's great. It finishes early August and then the Premier League starts.
Unfortunately, this is the last resort, but I can't stand it. I just can't stand it. I'm going to have to unfollow people. I'm sorry, but unless you commit to putting hashtags on your cricket tweets so then they disappear from my timeline, then you're getting unfollowed. Let this be a warning to you.
I think you're going to end up with about 10 followers.
And nobody's going to fucking care anyway, so no problem.
Shit. Well, on that note, Fiona's forecast. Thank you, Fiona. Thanks to everyone that listened.
Oh, sorry. Can I just say a very, very quick, very, very quick and happy, happy, happy birthday to pod member Jeremy Jez. Happy birthday, Jez. I hope you've had a good day.
When did his birthday?
Today.
Oh, my God. The Festivus of his 50th birthday only finished last week. He had like 51 weeks of the Festivus, and he's back in birthday mode.
Back in birthday mode. Big old Jez.
Happy birthday, big man. Yep, happy birthday, mate. Sorry about your blues. But
we would have been up and about this week, huh?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out Something About Cake. Now's the time to do the bookings. Get on the website, have a look, have a check out the 10-year anniversary pod, and our pod will be out Monday. And thanks to everyone that listened.
Thanks, guys.
Ciao.
Bye.